For WKU Public Radio, I'm Joe Corcoran. J.D. Vance's memoir of growing up poor in Appalachia, both in Kentucky and Ohio, Hillbilly Elegy, has been on the New York Times bestseller list since its release this summer. It really is the book of the summer. It's the story of his life, but also the story of his people, his white working class, his hillbillies. J.D. Vance joins us on the phone line now. And J.D., first of all, thanks for giving us a few minutes of your busy schedule. But how do you define hillbilly?
Yeah, well, I think it includes a couple of things. So the very first thing is that it includes at least some ties, familial or personal, to the land of Appalachia. And the second thing, I think, is that it includes a very deep affinity for the people who live there. So it's this sort of combination of you love both the land and the people, and you're pretty loyal to both.
Yeah, I mean, hillbilly is not necessarily a derogatory term. It's good and bad. I mean, the people are really tied to the land there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, you know, I think it's derogatory depending on who uses it. My mamaw, which is what I called my grandma, she always said, you know, nobody else can call us a hillbilly. If they do, you might have to punch them in the nose. But we're allowed to call ourselves hillbillies. And I think she used the term among our family and friends as a sort of term of endearment.
Yeah. The other word in your title, elegy, is this the death of the hillbilly?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's the death of the hillbilly at all. I do think that it's a sort of sad reflection on what's going on in a lot of these parts of hillbilly country. And it's important to note that it's not, you know, what's going on in every part of hillbilly country. I think there are a lot of good things along with the bad. But I also think that there are some pretty significant problems, and that's what I'm trying to shine a light on.
Yeah, your book's story is very, very class conscious. As you said, your mama was always telling you to, you know, go out and make it. And, you know, you really did. I mean, with your high school in southern Ohio, the Marine Corps, Ohio State, Yale Law School, what was it about you that made it when so many others don't out there in that part of the world?
Well, I don't think it was so much anything about me in particular. I think that it was a lot of the opportunities that my family and my community gave me. So one of the things I hope that I write towards the end of the book, you know, this isn't a bootstrap story. This isn't a story about how one kid through grit and determination and brain power made it. I think it's a story about how one kid got really lucky. You know, there were a lot of things in my life that weren't working. I think there are a lot of things in a lot of kids' lives in these areas that aren't working. But I had my mamaw, I had my papaw, I had my sister, I had my aunt. And, you know, I also had, I think, a couple of teachers who were really important in my life. And eventually I had the Marine Corps, which was very good for me. So there were a lot of things that had to go right in order for me to have much of a chance. And I think that if we look around and see that there aren't a whole lot of kids who are making it in this part of the world, the answer is a lot of kids don't have some of the lucky people that I had in my life.
In fact, just the opposite. They have actually very negative people in their lives who want to you know, keep them down. And you say it a couple of times, there's almost a learned helplessness, a lack of discipline for the people out there. They don't know how to work, or they don't want to work in a lot of situations.
Yeah, sometimes that's definitely true. You know, people, I think, feel pretty kicked and down in this part of the world. And it's not totally unexpected or something I don't understand, right? The world has been tough in these areas, whether you're a coal miner or a steel mill worker like my grandfather. It isn't true that life has been totally fair, but I think that people have responded to that in a lot of ways, in very, very negative ways. So they've let a recognition that life maybe isn't unfair become an excuse to completely give up. And of course, the very worst thing you can do when you've been kicked and kicked down is to just completely give up on yourself. And unfortunately, I did see that a fair amount growing up. And that's one of the things that luckily, you know, my grandma really fought against in me is letting me give in to that sense of hopelessness.
And you wrap up your book by addressing the big question, the big elephant in the room: what can be done to change the culture out there, to change things, to help people? If I'm reading it right, you're saying really not much. And whatever can be done has to be done organically from the people themselves.
Well, I think that it's definitely true that government can't fix everything. I don't know that I would say that not much can be done. I'm a bit more optimistic that there are different levers the government can push or pull. But what I think is definitely true is that when you think of the home that I grew up in, the violence, the chaos, the drug addiction, if you think of that sort of communal learned helplessness that surrounded me, I don't think the government can fix all of those problems. And so I think what needs to happen is a recognition that if we want these problems to get better, we really need an all-of-the-above approach. We need to recognize as a community that there are things we can do to make things better, but we also need to be willing to push on the government so that policy interventions can happen where they may actually be able to make things better. So it's complicated and it's not easy, but I'm not totally hopeless.
You have any political ambitions yourself, maybe coming back here and run for office?
It's funny. I've been asked that question a lot in the past couple of months, which I don't know if that means good things about me or bad things about me when people ask it. But no ambition to run for political office, at least not in the anytime foreseeable future. I'd love to certainly come back and help out and have ambitions to help out, but I think it not totally clear what that way of helping is, but do hope I get a chance to play a positive role in improving some of these problems I write about.
Did you expect this book to be jumped on so much from both sides of the political spectrum?
No, definitely not. I mean, the reaction to the book has really blown me away, and I didn't expect any of this to happen. I really thought, I told my wife a couple of months before the book comes out, I just hope that a couple of people read it and it makes a couple of people think. I certainly didn't think we'd be a number one New York Times bestseller or that people would be talking about it like this. So, I have no idea where it came from, but I'm obviously very grateful that folks have responded to it as well as they have.
I've been watching it over the summer, both especially from the media, the New York, Washington Media Access. I think they jumped on it, I think, because it was so exotic to them. I'm not sure they realized a culture like this still exists in the United States.
Yeah, that's definitely true. There's a bit of a sense in which people pick up the book and feel like they're reading about, like you said, an exotic place or a foreign country or just a completely unfamiliar group of people. And I hope that what I've done is that someone who picks up the book who's unfamiliar with hillbilly culture, with the white working class, will say, you know what, these people are pretty interesting. They've got a lot of good to them, but they also need a little bit of help. And I hope that it doesn't turn into just another excuse to sort of condescend to this group of people that really feels, I think, rightfully so, descended upon for a very long time.
J.D. Vance, the book is Hillbilly Elegy. It's a great read. Thank you so much for being with us here today.
Great. Thank you for having me.
And continued success. Great talking to you.
Yep. Nice talking to you.
Hillbilly Elegy is published by HarperCollins, available at all bookstores and on Amazon. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Joe Corcoran.